Our final scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 3, and I will be reading verses 1 through 12. In those days, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness of Judea, proclaiming, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is the one of whom the prophet Isaiah spoke when he said, "The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." Now John wore clothing of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then the people of Jerusalem and all Judea were going out to him, and all the region along the Jordan, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit worthy of repentance. Do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor,' for I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is laying at the foot root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and will gather his wheat into the granary, but the chaff he will burn with an unquenchable fire." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. In this season of time leading up to Christmas, we take the time to prepare for two things. First, to remember and celebrate the first Advent, which literally means the coming or the arrival. So we prepare to celebrate again the first coming of Christ, but then also we prepare for the second Advent, which is the second coming of Christ. And I'm sure you all know the hymn, the verse that says, "When Christ shall come with shouts of acclamation, what joy shall fill my heart." That's the second Advent that we're talking about. And we know we'll never agree on just exactly when this second Advent is going to come. And if you've noticed, everyone who has tried to predict when the second Advent is coming has been wrong 100% of the time. Why people keep trying after striking out every time, I don't know, but they do it. So there are probably a million different opinions about how and when, and possibly even whether or not the second Advent will actually come someday. God knows we're never going to agree on that. But I'll bet you dollars to donuts there is one thing we can agree on, and that's this. God's heart is broken by the state of our world today, and probably the state of the world throughout history. And we are responsible for that. We break God's heart every day by what we say and don't say, what we do and what we leave undone. We have strayed so far from the plans that God had for us so long ago. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So in this season of Advents, it's also a time when the church can think afresh, think in a new way about how to try to get back to what God intended for us all those years ago. To think about how to work toward a world that feels a little bit more like it's supposed to. Like a little bit of heaven on earth. You know, every week we pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And frankly, there's no better Advent guide to prepare us for Jesus' second coming and to show us how to make earth a little more like heaven than the wild and lone prophet John the Baptizer, whose directions for us really are quite simple. Repent. Now I realize the command to repent is probably not the directions you were necessarily hoping for. They're certainly not exactly what I was hoping for, because at this time of year, I would much prefer to make heaven feel a little bit, earth feel a little more like heaven by doing things like hanging Christmas decorations and making Christmas cookies and sending Christmas cards and wrapping Christmas presents, you know, spreading Christmas cheer by singing loud for all to hear. Name that Christmas movie.
Elf.
I knew the choir would know that one. But our Advent guide, John the Baptizer's directions, don't have anything to do with Christmas cheer. It actually sort of feels like the exact opposite of cheer. Repent, he cries out from the depths of the wilderness, from the darkness of the wilderness. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. The word repent sits like lead in our stomachs, like we've indulged in a few too many Christmas cookies. The word repent, it feels heavy and uncomfortable and burdensome. Because to repent means we have to stop and think about and claim our sin. To go back and relive all those times when we stuck our foot in our mouth, when we lashed out in anger, when we treated a person like an object, and when we judged someone because of how they spoke or how they were dressed. To repent, and to do it well, is a painful and quite possibly humiliating process. But that need to repent is stirred in us, sometimes unwillingly, by the God who loves us and wants to initiate and extend a righteous relationship to us. So he prompts us and he stirs us and he illumines our eyes and the eyes of our hearts by his Spirit, and he begins the process of redeeming us and regenerating us. And from the depths of the wilderness, John, our Advent guide, commands us to make a choice, to turn from sin, and to be baptized, not just with water, but with fire and Spirit. And this cleansing that happens through baptism, this cleansing of our heart and our mind and our soul, is just the beginning of God transforming us and making us new and making us holy. So while repenting may be painful, and even a little humiliating, it is the first step toward freedom and a right relationship with God in Jesus Christ. Word nerd that I am, I had to do a little study on the word repent and repentance. I wanted to know a little bit more about what it meant. And in the Greek, the word is metanoia, and it means to change one's mind. And that sounds about right. When we repent, we change our mind about our actions or our words, and we are sorry for what we have done. But there is a second layer to this definition, because it means to change one's mind or one's purpose. True repentance is not just saying you're sorry. Anyone can do that. It means to turn away from your old ways and to reorient your life in such a way as to follow Christ instead of your own whims and your own desires and your own thoughts. Repentance marks our desire to do things differently, to turn from the old to the new, to live out in the new direction, which grows from repentance, renouncing the ways of sin and looking forward to a new way of living that we are called to. One of my favorite Presbyterian writers said that. And as Presbyterians, we believe that repentance is the first part of conversion, a process which for some unfolds quite rapidly and dramatically, and for others is a gradual unveiling of God and his redemptive love for us. So if repentance is the first part of conversion, the second part is the amazing gift of faith. Faith is trust. It's our appropriation of the death of Jesus Christ on the cross, and the means by which we are forgiven for our sin. And faith establishes us in salvation with this new relationship with God, but not just with God, but with others as well. It's a gift of the Holy Spirit that enables us to receive the benefits of salvation. Salvation, which is for you and for me. So this gift of faith, this second part of conversion, which is given to us freely, it opens us up to new meaning and new purpose in our lives. Instead of being alienated, we have trust. Instead of isolation, we are adopted into God's family as his beloved children. Instead of spending all of our time working to save ourselves with our good works, we can live in freedom from sin and guilt. And we can serve Christ and we can serve others because we're not busy trying to get more stuff or puff up our reputations in the eyes of others. There is indeed great freedom in a life lived in a right relationship with God. A freedom which begins with repentance, but is lived out in a life of faith. I was trying to come up with a picture of this for you, and I hope this fits the bill. There's a Japanese tradition, possibly dating back to the late 15th century, called kintsugi. And it is the art of mending a broken pot by joining the broken pieces together with gold. The story goes that a Japanese man sent a bowl, which had been broken, back to China to be fixed. And when it was returned to him, the crack in the bowl was covered over with these big, ugly metal staples. And he was horrified by that. And so Japanese craftsmen went on this quest to find a better form of repair that could make a broken piece look as good as new or better. So kintsugi is the golden joinery of fixing broken pots with a layer of gold or gold-colored rosin for common folk. And chances are, one person writes, a vessel fixed by kintsugi will look more gorgeous and more precious than it was before it was broken. And others say that when something has suffered damage and has a history, it becomes more beautiful. We are, as Paul writes in 2 Corinthians, clay pots, fragile, cracked, easily broken. And one of the great paradoxes of Christianity is that humans, created by God and in God's very own image, turn out not to be the people we were created to be. And the relationship of love that we were created to share with God and with each other has been broken by sin. But at God's initiative, he will mend that relationship, joining the pieces of our brokenness together again with the finest of gold and forgiveness. All our sins, all our cracks, mended through repentance and the gift of faith. I quoted him last week, and I'm going to quote him again today. Leonard Cohen once wrote, "Ring out the bells that still can ring. Forget your perfect offering. There's a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in." And cracks are how the light gets in us too. Cracks of sin turned into repentance. Cracks now covered in gold and faith and forgiveness, illuminated by God's light, radiating out from inside of us. And all the cracks and all the sin and all the damage which have been mended by God's golden joinery, by his forgiveness and the gift of faith, they make us that much more precious and more beautiful than ever before. Our cracks and our sins don't need to be hidden in the darkness anymore because of Christ's light shining on us and through us, through those very cracks. Of course, even once we have repented and received the gift of faith and have been converted, we will still sin, and we will still have many, many more cracks, which will need God's golden joinery to mend. But through John the Baptizer's call to repentance and the ongoing process of God's conversion initiated by God himself and which will last us the rest of our lives, we will be like one of those Japanese pots whose cracks have been mended and who have been made even more precious in his sight. And it will be through these very cracks, covered in gold and faith and forgiveness, that the light of Christ will shine out most brightly into our world, which is so desperately in need of light. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.